Welcome to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
All right, everybody. It's been a bit. I know I was off for a couple weeks. I know I've been busy writing a bunch of reviews, interview pieces. I know you guys have probably been watching on social media, been writing a couple of reviews for Outburn Magazine and Spill Magazine. But now I'm trying to catch up on some things, doing a little housework on my baby, Into the Void. So I'm glad to be catching up on some podcast stuff here as well. So I actually want to welcome a really awesome guest here. I want him to introduce himself, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. My name is Timo, and I'm the singer of the band Our Mirage.
They are one of the bands from A Rising Empire, which is really cool. I've been doing a lot of work with these people for quite a bit, and I feel like the artist for A Rising Empire always seemed to get better with time. I feel like every artist always has something different to offer, and I feel like yours is no different. I guess we can start with the age-old question that I always ask every band, because I feel like every start to every band has a unique story, even if I know it personally, just being a journalist. I feel like everybody can learn and draw from the question anyway. What made you guys want to start Our Mirage, and what makes you guys want to be musicians and do the music that you want to do now?
I think the start of Our Mirage was a little bit different than other bands probably. So it was back in 2017. I just quit my former band, which was called Forever in Combat. And I quit because of reasons. and I wanted to start my solo project. And I recorded a song, put out a music video, and it just went viral. It just blew up. And I was like, okay, that was not planned, but okay, let's start a band. So I immediately called a drummer I knew from like my very first metalcore band I was ever in. I was calling him and asking if he wanted to join. And then I asked my best friend back then to play bass and do backup vocals. And yeah, that's kind of how we started. It was just at first a solo project, but then it turned into a band that actually is doing pretty well here in Germany.
No, I'm really happy for you guys. It's always funny, isn't it, how like you get these small opportunities where you don't think anything will come out of them, but then just out of nowhere, spontaneously, things will start happening from them. And it's good things that will start happening, and the changes will always happen for the better.
Yeah.
I said in my latest review, and I feel like, and you could always correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're a band that really is interested in not necessarily reinventing what post-hardcore does for the genre, but more of the emotional, illicit response it gives for people that listen to the genre. And I guess what I mean by that is, like, I don't feel like you guys really care what tools you guys have to use in your arsenal to really back that up, as long as you get that across. And I think I really got that, not only with, I want to say that the production in this album was absolutely gorgeous, very Titanic and really in your face. It's beautiful. I don't think it's really about soliciting any genre achievements or anything like that. I think it's what you guys do with the subtle experimentations to not only get those emotions across, but the instrumentation and those kind of baroscopic touches that are throughout each track within the album that elicits those responses. I know that's a lot to kind of digest here, but I guess my major question here is, what inspires you guys musically when you sit down to create an album?
I think what's inspiring me to write music is a certain feel. Sometimes I'm just sitting down with my guitar, just playing around and maybe program some drums already to have like something there. And I have a certain feeling, maybe I'm feeling a little bit stressed out that day, or I'm in a bad mood, or I'm in a happy mood. And I try to translate that into music. I just do whatever I feel like doing in that moment. We're not reinventing the wheel there, for sure.
Right.
But we just do what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of forcing ourselves, oh, we need to try to do something else. We just do music and just try to create an Amourage track. That's it.
You know? Right. I wanted to talk about the lyrics a bit. I know you guys focus on a lot of the problems that not only that youth deals with in our generation, but just the common problems that we ourselves deal with on a daily basis. Throughout the album, it's very intuitive and it addresses those problems kind of head on in a very honest way. It's beautifully punctuated with these beautiful melodic vocals throughout. The question here that I want to ask is, when you were tackling this album, what was the process behind it and what made it different from any of the other two albums that you made previously?
Lyrically, I think this album is a little bit different. It's not too different from what the other albums were about, but I think this time it's not always just what I was feeling and what I experienced, but more about what people in my surroundings were experiencing. And I talked to them a lot and talking about feelings, talking about what's on their minds, you know. Also, Manuel, our bassist, he also wrote lyrics for two songs because he had to get something off his chest and then sent them over to me, and I overworked them to make them fit into the song. But yeah, for example, the song Suffocating mm-hmm. on our album.
I feel like that's one of the best songs on the record.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah, that song is also like one of my favorites because it has a very personal touch, because one of my best friends had an ex-girlfriend that abused his trust a lot. And when I wrote the lyrics for this song, I always had the story on my mind that my friend told me how he felt about everything. And I was like, okay, I want to put that into a song and dedicate that song to my friend. That was what's happening with the other tracks as well. Like I thought about stories that some fans told us, because sometimes we just get messages, like super long messages on Instagram of people telling us their life story and how our music is helping them through a tough time. And sometimes I get inspired by the stories that our fans are telling us, and I'm thinking more about the people around me on this album instead of focusing on what was happening in my life, because I already did that on the previous two albums.
I guess we can go back to instrumentally on here. There's this dance. I think that's the best word that I can use for this album, where I feel like instrumentally we dance from these kind of, like I said, these really titanic kind of massive instrumentations, right? And to these really soft kind of baroscopic touches that kind of sort of float and intermingle in between the tracks. But it doesn't get lost. It keeps very much within the instrumental framework of what you guys are trying to explain emotionally, what's going on. Compared to the last two albums, how was that creative process instrumentally different from the last two?
I think the biggest difference there was that it was completely written in the first Corona lockdown, or almost completely written. In early 2020, we were about to do an album release tour of our previous album, Unseen Relations, and we played 3 shows out of 16. Mm-hmm. And then everything got canceled and everyone had to go into lockdown.
That sucks.
It was a really bad time. Like, we were down afterwards. We were depressed and sad that nothing was working out. And that was the moment I just said, okay, fuck it, I'm just going to write on the next album. And I sat down at home and I asked my best friend Ramon. He's also the guitarist of my second band, Alleviate. And I asked him if he wanted to help me write songs. So we sat down on Discord and I streamed my audio signal out of the recording program to him in real time so he could listen to what I was doing, shared my screen. And then we just started playing guitar and I was like, okay, let's write the first song. And then everything just unfolded in like the first month of lockdown. And we were sitting down almost every day recording or writing a song. And it was so different. because we were not together in the studio or in the rehearsal room, you know? Yeah, it was just sitting at home and talking on the computer. But that opened up other doors, I think, because I started writing with Ramon. He's one of the best guitarists I know, and he helped me finding new chords on the guitar, for example, and think about guitar writing in a different way. I have to say, this album sounds different than the two albums before. We are going more sometimes in a like a more metalcore-ish section instead of post-hardcore. Mm-hmm. We have some more metalcore riffs, some more breakdowns, more screams in there. And so we're going a little bit heavier, and we have definitely more guitar work going on. So it's definitely different than both albums before. And I think that was because of the different approach we did there.
I also know that you guys have the last final track on the album that's kind of, I want to say that it's atmospherically different because it has a certain brightness to it compared to, I want to say, the rest of them. For the audience here that will be listening to this and who has read the review, I want to talk a little bit about that because I know there's more of a story there than it being different atmospherically for you.
Yeah, definitely. There's a big story behind it. This song was originally written back in 2017, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty old song. And I had a side project with our bassist, Manuel, which was called Breakdown Bros. And we did fun metalcore songs. We did stuff about Pokemon Go back in 2016. We wrote a metalcore song about Pokemon Go and a metalcore song about how to cook scrambled eggs. So it was just stupid shit back then.
Right.
But we never released that pop punk song we wrote called Summertown, but we always loved it. One day, the album Eclipse was already finished. We were just about to send it to a Rising Empire, to our label. And we listened to the whole thing, and we were together in a van on the road to play a show. And then we were listening to Summertown again. It's fun. It's super fun to listen to. And then we were like, okay, should we put it on the album? But what would be the reason to put it on there? Then I was thinking about like a bad time in my life, mm-hmm. where I was always putting on a mask when I went out of the door and pretend that I'm happy to everyone else. And we were like, okay, what about we put this track at the very end of the album as a closing track, as a metaphor for putting on a mask that's supposed to be happy before you go out the door. It's probably not understandable for everyone, but we were like, this is a good reason to put that song as a closing track on the album. And yeah, that's how it got there.
No, I think it's a good reason enough for people to understand, because I feel like when you're listening to a body of work this heavy, and then you come to a track like this, I feel like the traditional listener will be like, well, this feels off. And I feel like when you hear the story about why this is on here, I feel like it makes you come to appreciate why it's there, not really the dynamics of why it may feel off compared to the other tracks. And I think for me, it didn't feel off. It felt that the energy just felt brighter and, you know, different compared to something that was generally more heavy in the messages that you guys yeah. were trying to portray. So I was like, you know what? On this episode, I'm actually going to address this for those, not only people that are fans of this band, but I think people who are getting into Our Mirage and listen and really dive deep into this album, they will appreciate why it's there. And I have a newfound appreciation for why the track is there now. What made this whole process for you and the band different or similar? I know COVID was a very significant factor in all of this, but were there any other things that made this different for you or the band moving forward in terms of this whole creative process being different for this album?
I think the biggest difference here was that we worked with more people on the album. Mm-hmm. Like before, the first two albums were just like me and the band. So mm-hmm. it's just four people going over the songs. But on this album, I was also working with Ramon, for example, the other guitarist. And also I was working on two tracks with a German producer and songwriter called Kotche. He's also writing for pop artists in Germany. He helped writing vocal lines for Eclipse and Vicious Cycle.
Which is such a wonderful song, by the way. I love the dynamics and just the depth of that song. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I think having more people working on that album is also a big difference between Unseen Relations and Lifeline and Eclipse, you know. Mm-hmm. The first two albums were just the band, and now it's like more people. And we already talked about this with the whole band. We are going to work with even more people on the next record. And there's already plans for the fourth album.
Well, you're hearing it here now, folks. They are working on a fourth album. So major excitement there for anybody that is anticipating new material from these guys. I sure am excited to see where you guys are going to take this. Because like you said, instrumentally, yes, there was a lot of different things that were happening on this album. And to see you guys kind of take this and move this forward and see what you guys can do more atmospherically and kind of moving around more of these huge kind of instrumental structures, it'll be interesting to see what you guys are going to do with the fourth album. And like you said, working with more people. So I'm definitely excited.
It's gonna be even more different, I guess.
Since you guys are saying you are open to working with more people and you are working on a new album, if you could collaborate with any artist on the next record, who would it be with and why?
I would love to work with Cody Quistat of Wage War. Because
nice.
Yeah, like he's also a songwriter, you know?
Right.
He's writing for Falling in Reverse, for Memphis Mayfire, and obviously Wage War. And Wage War is, I guess, one of my favorite bands ever. The favorite band, let's say like this. I'm not a person who's listening to like whole albums, actually. I'm listening to songs, you know, but mm-hmm. I always keep coming back to Wage War. On every album, there's like a few songs that I'm like just crushing on my Spotify. I guess it would be Cody but not only because he's in Wage War or he's a good vocalist, but more because I like what he's doing and what he's achieving with his songwriting skills, you know, and I think I could learn a lot from him. It's not like I'm looking up to him as a person, but I look up to what he's doing.
I feel like they always say that you shouldn't romanticize your idols. I don't think that's what you're saying. I think you're saying you like the fundamentals of what he does within his career. And I think that's awesome. And I fully appreciate what you're saying about this, because I feel like when you look at the career of Wage War and the things that they have done on their albums thematically, in terms of what they build lyrically and instrumentally, I think it's fantastic what they do. And if you could honestly get that to happen, Cody, if you ever circle around to this podcast, and I know this is a small podcast and this probably means next to nothing, but I will be tagging. If you actually get the chance to even listen to this, slide into this man's DMs or, you know, just even message the band, Arising Empire, do whatever you need to do to make this work. And, you know, it would be really cool to see you guys do a song or two together. I think that would be amazing.
Would be sick.
That would be amazing. If I were to see that on Instagram as a freaking notification, I'd be like, something in the universe has balanced out in a long line of things that are just really crazy and chaotic right now. I know it's kind of early for you guys in your career, so to speak, but what do you feel? I guess just speaking for you, I know you can't speak for the whole band, but what do you feel has been the most challenging experience thus far for you as an artist moving into not only this album, but going into the next album cycle? What do you feel has been the most challenging thing for you as an artist?
I think to find the time and the creativity to write for the band, because mm-hmm. I'm a full-time music producer myself. I record other bands and I have a lot of bands in the studio. And the only time I have for my own bands is after work. So when I'm already stressed out and have worked for like 10 hours on a song and the band is going home, then I still have to write for my own band. So I think that's the most challenging part, to stay creative and stay motivated to write for my band after an already pretty long day.
I think what people sometimes fail to realize is that with musicians, there's other hats that you guys wear outside of just making music. There's other things that you guys obviously have to do to, you know, pull in money for yourselves to make a living. If it was like this magical world where you guys could just make music just to make music, I think the world, I guess, within the music atmosphere of things would be a better place, right? But it's not like that. I feel like a lot of times you guys do have to wear different hats to make those ends meet. And I feel like even top tier artists also have to do that too.
Definitely.
The money all has to come from somewhere. I guess, again, like I said, you guys are still so early in your career. And I believe everyone's journey is different. We all learn something along the way. It doesn't matter the age or how long you've been in the scene. What's the best advice that you've gotten as a musician that keeps you moving forward?
Thinking positive about things. I think that's the most important part there. Because if you start a band, it's not certain that you will become successful. You know, it's something you have to work really hard for. Sure, sometimes you can be lucky and go viral with something like the first song and then you're just a superstar. But most of the times you have to work really, really hard for that. And there is a lot of slaps in the face, sure, that will happen. That has happened to me and the band. But you just got to keep going, got to keep pushing and stay positive, stay focused on what you want to achieve, make plans and appreciate also the little things that are happening. And I think that helps a lot with all that. But it's something you can apply to every other life situation as well. Thinking positive is just essential, I guess.
No, I think it's very much definitely a mindset when it comes to even, you know, my career as a journalist. And I think you can identify with this as well. It took time to get to where we are in our careers. Yeah, and it takes the work to definitely stay where you're at. I think the positive mindset, even when times feel very dire or you feel like, oh, well, this really can't get any worse, can it? And you have to really stop and think that, you know, when you look at other people's situations or maybe your own, it probably could get just a bit worse. And you just have to stop and look and say, you know what, this is where I'm at right now. And I have to appreciate the small little victories, no matter what they are, because I could not have any of these things. So I appreciate that. And I think a lot of other people who are probably watching, either starting a band or even starting, you know, a career of their own, will appreciate that. Especially during the pandemic, there was definitely an influx of people starting things up, and they've flourished now because they sat down and they said, you know what, I have the time to do this, so I'm going to do it. So I definitely believe that a positive mindset is key.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Timo, for coming onto the show and definitely talking about your life and, you know, really digging into this album as a whole. If you guys haven't listened to it, definitely form an opinion for yourself and actually take a listen and dive into the album. I think you will find an appreciation for this. I'm definitely excited for what's to come for the next album. You're saying that it's going to be atmospherically and instrumentally different, so I'm very excited for what's to come for you guys.
We'll meet again, hopefully.
Exactly.
Next time.
There will be lots to talk about then.
Yeah,
I'm sure. If you guys haven't liked, commented, subscribed already, please do, because we will be having other bands just as entertaining as our guest here. If you are listening on YouTube, you can also listen on Podbean. You can also listen on Spotify. You can also listen on any other streaming services that are available right now, and even on the Into the Void website. So take care, guys.